We start hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is great to be back. I had Friday off. I was in Wisconsin, but it's good to be home. It was great to be there, and it's good to be home. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Never thought that I would say it, but we spent the entire first hour on the Kentucky Derby. And normally, if I would spend an entire hour on the Kentucky Derby, then something bad must have happened. I'm going to argue that something really controversial happened, but not necessarily something bad. Again, not to recap the entire thing, but if you missed hour number one, Tim Layden already came on, and I gave you my thoughts on the finish of that race. It was controversial. There was an objection filed by a couple of the jockeys, and for the first time in 145 years, they took down the winner of the Kentucky Derby. That had never happened before, obviously, because of the stakes. However, the stewards that took 22 minutes to make that decision got that call right. It was interference. That's a foul. That's a foul on any other track on any other day of the week. If that happens on any other track on any other day, it takes 2 minutes to decide. It's easy. That's a foul. You cannot do what maximum security did. Intent does not matter. I'm not really sure why the horse veered out the way he did, but he veered out the way he did. And he impeded and impacted the progress of other horses, thereby impacting the outcome of the race. He had to come down. I mean, it's not a great thing. You'd hate to lose the Derby that way. In fact, that'd be the worst thing. But it's the right thing. So where do you come out on that? 1-800-636-8686. And not only was it a foul, if you watch that one more time, watch the one horse. And watch how those two horses get tangled up. It is a miracle. It is a miracle that that horse did not go down. And the reason the horse didn't go down, a couple of reasons. Number one, the jockey did an amazing job. And number two, it's just a really athletic horse who maintained his balance. But if that horse goes down and that horse is badly hurt, or that horse even dies, or there's a chain reaction, you can't even imagine how bad that is for that sport, which already has a lot of problems right now. So we spent the first hour on that. 1-800-636-8686. Let me give you another topic really quickly. Heading into Sunday's game four in Philadelphia, everything was trending the Sixers' way. Like, Vegas could not move that point spread fast enough. Game four opened up with the Sixers, a home dog, getting a point in their own building. But by the time they tipped, Philadelphia was laying three in most of the betting windows. Some of that was Pascal Siakam and his busted up calf. Some of that was Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol busting up rims. But the rest was the Sixers. Philadelphia dominated game three. Joel was dropping windmill dunks and airplane wings. The answer and Meek Mill were partying hard courtside. The crowd was hyped. Philadelphia's bench was going off. Even another hero game from Kawhi was not enough. And when a point spread tips the way game fours did, somebody knows something. And that something felt like the inevitable. Five straight Raptors teams bowing out in round two or earlier. Half a decade of Toronto squads bullying their way through the regular season before getting the hands come playoff time. And just when it looked like the Sixers were about to wrap their hands around the Raptors' neck and put them in the ground, the King of the North looked death in the eye and said, "Not today." Toronto 101, Philly 96, and Kawhi freaking Leonard infinity. That game right there is why Masai Ujiri made that trade. That performance is why the Raptors were willing to risk everything. With Toronto on the ropes, desperate to avoid a 3-1 hole, Kawhi gets that team on his freaking back. He carries them back home with a 2-2 split. 43 minutes, 39 points on only 20 shots. 14 boards, 65% from the floor, 71% from outside. 5 assists, lockdown D. Like, if you had told me that Kawhi loaded the bags onto the bus, I would have believed that. Now, if you told me he jumped in the cockpit and he flew the team plane back to Toronto, I'd believe that. Because that was an everything performance. That wasn't just one guy on five. That was one guy on an entire city. Through nine games in the postseason, Kawhi is shooting nearly 59%. this series. He's averaging 38 a game on 62% shooting. If it sounds freaky, it's because it is freaky. Only Mike has averaged more than 35 on 60% shooting in a series. That's it. Just Mike. Kawhi's 21 of 24 on open looks. He's almost as deadly with a hand in his face. Single team this guy, double team this guy. Hell, whatever, anything, whatever Brett Brown throws at him, Kawhi seems to have an answer. And with the Raptors holding on to a one-point lead with just over a minute to go, and Kawhi had both Ben Simmons and Joel in his face. The shot clock winding down, he rolls around a screen, he steps back behind the arc, and he lands an absolute dagger from distance.
Gets a Gasol screen, now working on Embiid, three in the air, good! Down the bottom of the well for Kawhi Leonard, 94-90 Toronto, a big shot by Leonard.
Raptors radio with that. I mean, you want to talk about brass. This guy had to work through 6'10" Ben Simmons to get to Joel Embiid, a dude with a wingspan of like 14 feet, and still didn't blink. And then post-game, you didn't hear Philadelphia players or coaches complain about the refs or blame themselves for missed opportunities. They just tipped their freaking hat. Listen to Jimmy Butler.
He's a really good player, and he's been doing that for a long time now in the league. He's done that every game of this series. So, I mean, I don't know what else he could do.
Tobias Harris said, it's not about what we didn't do. It's about what that guy did.
You know, all the shots that he's taken are tough, contested, but he's a heck of a player, and he's making tough shots. So, I mean, we got to just continue to be physical with him, show a crowd, and limit his touches. That's the biggest thing.
And then they got around to Brett Brown.
You know, Brett Brown
went with the ultimate compliment. He compared Kawhi to the Mamba.
You know, the stuff that he can get off, and we had two people out there, the stuff that he can do to create his own shot is Kobe-like for me. You know, he's just so gifted in relation to doing that. That's a hell of a player. 39 points, and you really felt all of them.
That's exactly right. Like, we did everything we had. We threw everything we could at this guy, and it didn't matter. He got his. It's a hell of a player. You tip your hat. So I respect all three of them and what they said. But better than anything that the three of them said was this dude from the cheap seats at the Wells Fargo Center. Per The Athletic, this is what one fan was screaming at Kawhi as he was lighting that joint on fire. Quote, weirdo! Weirdo! You're a weird guy! Weirdo! You're a weird guy! Yeah, well, that weirdo just sent that series back to Toronto, tied up at two games apiece. That weird guy is doing it better than maybe any perimeter player has ever done it in the postseason. That weirdo is stone cold and dead-eyed. He might be weird, but he's not afraid. He might be weird, but he's not afraid of Toronto's past. And he's not worried about their future. He's just taking everything that the Sixers throw at him and dishing it right back, even colder. Toronto loses that game. The series is over. But they didn't, because that weirdo would not lend them.
Let's get weird.
Weird is good. But nothing's better than that. You see, this guy wasn't there. I didn't hear it. But I can just imagine this guy way up there in the cheap seats. Yo, Kawhi, you're weird.
Brah.
You're weird, man. You are weird, dude. Meanwhile, he's lighting that joint on fire. Doesn't matter. Kawhi, man, you are weird, bro.
Weird.
Have some of this. Have some of that. Yeah, now we're tied. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Brooklyn. Sean in Brooklyn. It's good to have you,
yeah,
Sean. How are you?
Today.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very fine, thank you. I have one more quick question on the Derby. My wife and I watched it on Saturday, and like Boomer was talking about, we're horse racing tourists. You know, we'll watch the three shows. I went to the Belmont a couple of times and went to Saratoga a couple of times. My question is about the track conditions. Layden was talking about it's ankle-deep mud, it's raining. The race is before the main race, so the track's all beat up. The jockey was in front, right? And, he ended up totally clean at the finish, right? It's a 1,200-pound horse that lost its footing on a horrible track. There's no way that they can make any exceptions or they got any sort of processes in place to account for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sean, I appreciate you. Thank you. That's a good question. Let me answer that. So Sean's saying, we're tourists. We watch the game. What about the mud? What about the slop? Isn't it possible that the horse just slipped? And if the horse slipped, then can't they make allowances for that because the horse was running so well? He didn't bobble or trip or slip. He veered out. He veered way out. He veered out several paths. Now, two things. Again, I don't know why he did that. The jockey says the horse got spooked by the crowd. And that's not that unusual. When they turn for home and you've got 100,000 people in the stands and they all explode, it could spook a horse. They're not used to that. Remember, these horses running at the Derby have never run that far and arguably, in fact, not even arguably, they've never run in front of 100,000 people before. Some horses, they're like athletes. They are athletes. They're equine athletes. Some never blink or flinch, and nothing ever impacts them at all. And others might spook. Others might kind of tighten up a little bit. I don't know why Maximum Security veered out the way he did, but it doesn't even matter. Intent does not matter. To answer your question, no, it was not the track. The horse was getting over the track. The horse was getting over the mud really well, running really well. The mud did not bother that horse. Some like that slop. Some actually run better in the slop, and some don't like it at all. He was fine. I mean, I'd even argue that they were the horse to beat. That was the best horse in the field. But he did commit a foul. And no, the stewards will not look at the mud and say, he slipped. And therefore, let's let him have the win. 1-800-636-8686. And I want to say one more thing, too. Again, the horse that got bumped up may not have been impacted by the collision or the bumping, but that horse ran a huge race. The eventual winner ran his eyeballs out. Again, don't get this confused with, they took the horse that came in last place and made it the winner. Not at all. That horse ran its eyeballs out. You know what I like about this? We're having a legitimate horse racing conversation. That's cool. Let's go to Matt in Portland. Hey, Matt, how are you?
What's up, Snags?
What's up?
Hey, I'm not really educated on horse racing, but I gamble here and there. So I was just wondering if you think I should call my bookie and try and get my money back, because he told me to bet on Sarah Jessica Parker and Nancy Kerrigan, but those horses weren't in the race.
As I mentioned, we were having a really responsible, mature discussion about thoroughbred racing. Until then.
It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Bob in Calgary. That guy beat you to your stupid joke first.
Bye.
Take the rest of the day off, loser. You know, that's pretty good for you clones. We made it through an hour with a legitimate thoroughbred conversation. I like that. Not bad. Stewards got it right. The stewards got it right. They did not execute it that well, but they got the call right. All right, so in addition to it, we've got Weird Kawhi burying Philadelphia. And now we're tied up 2 games apiece. My man, Freddie Kitchens, goes Freddie Kitchens once again. Can't wait to talk about the Browns. We're 4 months and 2 days away from it all starting, and I will talk about that too. LeBron. Well, I've been sitting back here in L.A. like, where's LeBron? Where is LeBron? Why is LeBron not saying anything about Irv? Exactly where is LeBron? Oh, he was saving it for his show. Now we know how Irv feels about LeBron. In fact, we would have known weeks ago, but when he made his comments, he put them in the can for his own TV show. So we will get there as well. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. As any coach or GM will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise the teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You've got to have top talent. But You don't have to have endless resources to find that talent. Luckily, what you have is ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they do not stop there. Their powerful technology, matching technology, scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome, R-O-M-E. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I'm going to get to Magic and LeBron in a minute, really quickly. Let me ask you this. What happens when you head to your man cave to watch the game and your remote is missing? Oh, there's the DVD remote, the streaming remote, but where's my TV remote? It's time for Control Center by Cavo, the one universal remote that does it all for you. Control Center manages all your content so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use voice-controlled remote. Plus, you can turn on the TV from anywhere with the Cavo mobile app. Setup is easy. Just plug in your streamer, sound system, cable or satellite, even your game console. And Control Center will handle the rest. Make life in that man cave easier with Control Center by Cavo. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with a one-year service plan included with the promo code ROME. $10 off the regular price of $89.95 with the promo code ROME. Let me spell it for you. CAAVO.com. Control Center is available at CAAVO.com and Best Buy. Service plan is required. First 45 days for free. See the website for details. Control Center by Cavo. One remote does it all. 1-800-636-8686. I'm hammering that today because today is a good phone call day. All right, so if you missed last night's game 4 in Philadelphia between the Raptors and Sixers, I just gave you a whole take on it. But if you missed the take and you missed the game, don't worry about that. In fact, don't even bother with a highlights package or a recap blog, because in my hand, I am holding the definitive take of all takes. And in just 38 miraculous words, you'll know everything there is to know about the series tying dub that the Raptors ripped at the Wells Fargo Center Sunday night. Sure, I did a whole take on this. Sure, I talked about Kawhi. However, there's a guy who's much better equipped to do this than me and way more succinct. You know me, I can get kind of rolling for a while. This is the take to end all takes. This is the most definitive take. Prepare to have your mind blown. Are you ready? Quote, I don't know who will win the series with Toronto's victory over Philadelphia to even it up. But I do know that Kawhi Leonard has been dominating the series and put on a show today, scoring 39 points. Holy crap. He went there. I don't believe that guy said that. Man, that is so good. That is so accurate. Man, that is mind-blowing. That is chillingly succinct and precise, wildly intelligent. And who do you think thumbed out that Pulitzer Prize winning tweet? You already know.
Oh, ho, ho, it's magic.
It's Irv.
Oh,
Irvin Magic Johnson. Who the hell else? Who the hell else? Quote, I don't know who will win the series with Toronto's victory over Philadelphia to even it up, but I do know that Kawhi Leonard has been dominating this series and put on a show today, scoring 39 points. I mean, I read that a second time. It's even better than the first. Rest or rust? Absolutely no rust factor whatsoever in this guy's Twitter game. Welcome back, Irv. I can see why you quit your gig as president of the most storied franchise in NBA history, because that is a fire tweet. Now, I've got no idea how any of us went 2 years without that kind of content in our timelines. Speaking of quitting the gig, up until this weekend, nobody had heard from LeBron on Magic's sudden and shocking departure from the LA Lakers. I mean, wouldn't you think that the face of the franchise would be one of the first to go on record about his boss trading in his office key for his Twitter password? Especially since Irv was the one who inked up Braun to that 4-year deal less than 10 months ago. But it turns out that LeBron, the basketball player, was hoarding content for LeBron, the TV producer. And on Saturday night, everybody's HBO Go account was worth more than just an East Coast feed of Game of Thrones. Because for the first time since Irv abruptly shut it down with the Lakers, LeBron finally got around to giving his side of the story on his TV show, The Shop.
Magic stepped down. What was that?
How did you find out?
Yeah, what was that process like?
Through him.
You found out Magic stepped down through him?
Yeah, he came locker room.
Yeah, and I found out from Randy.
Between my stretching session, my right hand comes to me and say, Magic just stepped down. And I'm like, man, get the out of my face. You bullshit. I go check my phone. I look at it. The happened. Personally, for me, I came here to be a part of the Lakers organization, having a conversation with Magic. So it was just weird for him to just be like, I'm out of here. And not even have no like, hey, Bron, kiss my ass, I'm gone. It wasn't even that.
Yeah, but it was different for me. Like when I was like, that is crazy. And I took a minute and I was like, yo, Kuz, what are we doing tonight? Like,
That's wild. So LeBron's been sitting on that. Yeah, now I know why. You think he's going to share content that good for free? You think he's going to give that content away? You think he's going to give that away? Hell no, he's got a show. So he waited. According to LeBron, he found out that Magic was quitting from Randy Mims, his longtime business partner and assistant. And LeBron didn't believe it right away until he checked his phone and he saw the breaking news along with everybody else. I love the whole notion that Bron is checking his phone like everybody else to find out what Irv is doing. And I really like what he said, that He didn't come to him and say, yo, Bron, this is what's up. Or didn't even come at him like, hey, Bron, kiss my ass. This is my decision, and this is what I'm doing. He just didn't come to him at all. So even though LeBron was not playing in the season finale when Magic dropped that bomb, he was still in the building, and he walked into the locker room with the rest of the team to see what was up. LeBron also said on this week's episode of The Shop, quote, no one had any idea. We was all like, damn, right now? It was literally 70 minutes on the clock. I'm not playing, but my team is still playing, and you kind of decided to do that right here, right now? I feel like there's a time and a place for things, and I believe you knew you were going to make that decision, so why would you do that here? Why would you do that now? End quote. Good questions. Fair questions. Why there and why then? I'm pretty sure everybody is still wondering why the president of the team quit right before the final game of the season without telling anybody at all, only to leave the squad and the head coach and the face of the franchise completely stunned right before taking the court. But according to Magic, at that time, he had to quit right then and right now. Otherwise, Jeannie Buss would have talked him into staying. Remember, that's what he said then. Hearing that now sounds even dumber now than it did then. Well, I had to do it. I couldn't tell her. She would have talked me out of it. Listen, when the guy who left the entire city of Cleveland dangling by their heartstrings, live on TV, only to take his talents to South Beach, thinks that your exit is tone deaf, then you know you botched it. And Magic did. But we knew that already. I didn't need LeBron to question Magic on his TV show to know that Magic jacked that whole thing up. What's far more telling, again, is that LeBron aired it out his former boss on his TV show. And he's doing it with Lonzo Ball as his guest. Magic's biggest draft pick and Magic's biggest free agent signing are on HBO. presumably getting paid to crack on Magic. Instead of talking to the media right after it happened, LeBron skipped the exit interviews and taped Saturday night's episode 2 days later instead. Again, why give away premium content for free? Think about that. Instead of going to the presser, he went right to the TV set and he sat on that episode. Had that thing in the can for like a month. And the first time any of us are hearing from LeBron on Magic is on LeBron's TV show. And again, he was pretty good on it. Wish I'd heard that back then. But content, man, everybody's got to feed the beast. And that's what these guys do now, right? I see them working. They're holding their own content. They'll release their own content when they want to. Kobe never did. MJ never did. The Hick from French Lick never did. But then again, that was then, and this is now, and the world is totally different. If you thought LeBron trying to trade the team to New Orleans was a power flex, what do you call this? My man's like Jackie Moon out there, player, coach, GM, and now team correspondent. It's incredible. Why talk to the media when you can collect a check from HBO to do it right there? Why talk to the media when you're the player, the coach, the GM, and the media? Man, what a year for the Lakers. Six straight years without the playoffs. LeBron's first significant injury, Magic quit, Walton fired, and now the face of the franchise is out here burying ex-employees and franchise legends on HBO a month later. 1 year down, three to go, can't wait for next season. And it's got nothing to do with basketball. Car flags up, Laker honks. Car flags up. Car flags up. Dude buried him a month after the fact. At Justin920 in 715 tweets. I don't know who will be the NBA champion, but my pick is the Warriors, Rockets, Nuggets, Blazers, Bucks, Celtics, Raptors, and Sixers. Signed, it's starting all over again. My man, welcome back. It's like you never even left. Rust or rest? He's got no rust. All right, we'll take a short time out. Coming up next hour, Arturis, Carney Chauvis, Denver Nuggets GM joins us. I guess I probably should look for a third guest, right? I'll do that. Phone lines are open. I want to talk about Freddie Kitchens getting nice again. Dodgers Padres had a great series over the weekend. I want to try to get to that. And I'm begging telephone calls on this Monday. Time for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This segment is brought to you by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. We added Ryan Hollins, NBA analyst, former NBA player. He will be at 11:20 Pacific, 2:20 Eastern. So we go back-to-back next hour, meaning this segment is open. All right, so today is May 6th, which means in 4 months, in 2 days, it will be September 8th. That means that in 4 months, in 2 days, the entire world is going to be right in front of a TV. And that TV is going to be tuned to CBS. Because September 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern is when it all starts. It's when it all starts. I mean, I'm imagining every last one of you has that day circled on your calendar already. If not, let me remind you. It is the Cleveland Browns football season. No, strike that. It is America's football season. Normally, I would say summer is the best time of year. Time for vacation, time for hanging with the fam, spend some time outside, enjoy life, smash a few cold ones, get out to the yard. Nobody ever wants to spin clock on the summer. Nobody wants to fast forward through summer. If anything, you want to slow it down. You want to enjoy it as much as possible. This year, though, summer is only getting in the way. Summer is an obstacle that we have to get over or get past so we can get to the real best season, the Cleveland Browns season. You think people are fired up for this season of Game of Thrones? Psst, please.
Please.
There is nothing compared to the juice for the season of the Cleveland Browns. You think the Browns are accidentally going to leave a Starbucks cup on their set? Hell no. They're pros. Cleveland lit the country. No, lit the world on fire last year, and they've only gotten better in the offseason. Let me remind you, they went from 0-16 to 7-8-1 in a single year. A ridiculous improvement. Since then, all they've done is stack talent. But if you think that head coach Freddie Kitchens is pleased about that, think again. If you think that the momentum from last year carries over to this year, you better rethink that again. And you better start listening to Freddie Kitchens himself.
But moving forward, we're not worried one bit about last year on any area of last year. Offensively, defensively, special teams, anything. Everything we have, we've got the goal in mind of getting better in everything. So whether it's press man coverage, whether it's Miles rushing, or whether it's the Scottish Hammer, all right? Everybody's getting better. Last year is last year, and last year doesn't make – no two teams are the same, all right? I've said that numerous times. You're not going to be the same. I don't care. You're not going to pick up where you left off. And we're not interested in revisiting last year at all. We were 7-8-1. We didn't do shit last year, all right? We didn't win anything. We were third in the division. And I don't know where all this is coming from. Just because the Super Bowl is our goal doesn't mean that's what we're at right now. We're a team just like the other 31 teams, and we're focused on training camp, OTAs, mini camp, and getting better when those guys get back in the building. That's it. Sorry for the language.
No need to apologize for the language, Coach. Never apologize for spitting truth. Quote, we didn't do bleep last year. We didn't win anything. We were third in the division. Damn, that's my head coach. That is my head coach. That is America's head coach. And that's why that is the right man for that job. That's why I could not be any more pumped to call him my head coach. I'm about to go all TO right now. That's my head coach. Now, you might be impressed by last year, and you should be, but Freddie's not. This guy could be doing a victory lap about how he took the offense over and how it took off when he took over. He could be talking about the arrival of Odell and what he'll be able to do when he schemes up with Odell, Jarvis, Baker, and Nick Chubb, or about the growth of the defense with monsters like Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, plus the additions of Olivier Vernon and Sheldon Richardson. Or he could be banging the drum for Cleveland and saying, what about us? When are we going to get some respect? Or he could be talking about those morons in Las Vegas who are saying that they will not make the playoffs. But he's not. He's not buying into any of the hype. He's telling everybody, we didn't do bleep last year. We didn't win jack last year. Hell, compared to what they have done, they won a ton. But compared to what Freddie wants, they didn't do bleep. 7-8-1 is not good enough. It's not good enough for Freddie Kitchens. It's not good enough for the Cleveland Browns. Let me stop right there. When did you think anybody would ever say that, 7-8-1 was not good enough for the Cleveland Browns? It's not. It's not good enough for him. It's not good enough for them. And it's not good enough for America. Normally, I am looking to put an extra month between August and September just to stretch the summer out, just to make it that much longer. This year, I'm looking to cancel August and July. And that's when I get all my vacay. I'm looking to shut it down and stay home. Let's just go straight from June to September. Man, because the suspense is killing me. September 8th, Tennessee at Cleveland. 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Let's do this.
We didn't do shit last year. All right, we didn't win anything. We were third in the division.
We didn't. Yeah, I did it. We didn't do bleep last year. We didn't win anything. We finished third in the division. That's my coach. That's America's coach. God, I love that guy. I don't play favorites, It's my favorite coach right now. I don't play favorites. That might be my favorite human being right now. Freddie Kitchens. We didn't do bleep last year. Why do people keep bringing that up? I love it.
Sorry for the language.
You know, plus that whole rap about, and people I respect, there's a lot of guys I respect saying this too. He can't handle that. How is that guy going to handle that locker room? How is that guy going to handle all those personalities? By being him. By doing what he just did. By saying things like that. Well, he's got this. He's fine. They're fine. We're fine. That's America's team right there. 1-800-636-8686. Looking for a good telephone call right here, especially in smack-off season. We added Ryan Hollins next hour. Arturis Karnachovas is joining us. He's Batman.
I'm Batman.
At TFP Lee tweets, the best part of the shop episode is Lonzo responding to the Irv news with indifference. Nothing says focused on basketball like wondering where the after party is when the team president just quit. That's a really dysfunctional group. And when you've got a chance to go outside the organization and bring in one of the killers, and there are guys available, really good executives available, and you don't do that, you got to wonder about that too. Bob Myers is coming up. And one programming note. Normally it's Podcast Tuesday. We're going with Podcast Monday. Bob Myers, the GM of the Golden State Warriors, is going to sit down and do a conversation with me after this show. And because they play tonight, we're going to push that out tonight. We're going to push that out before the game. So the Jim Rome Podcast with Bob Myers is today. It's not tomorrow. I mean, it'll be live and on demand for all of eternity. But we're going to push it out today, not tomorrow. Make sure you look for that then. Bob Myers coming up after the program. Let's go to Roger in Minneapolis. Roger, appreciate the wait. How are you?
Yo, Romy.
Yo, Roger.
This is incredible, dude. I can't believe I'm actually talking to you. I'm a long time, first time. And I am so glad that you became a horse racing lover. I don't know when it was, 10 years ago. That's
right.
Epic. You
right.
Should give yourself a tongue, man. But I have an incredible story on Saturday that I've shared with many of my friends and family. And my sister said, you have to call Rome and you have to share this with everybody else. So here goes. So I live in Minneapolis. So I go out to Canterbury Downs, local track. I always make my bet for the Kentucky Derby. It's a party we have. I come back with my friends. We do a shot of tequila before the race and we watch the race, right? And I got maximum security. I thought this horse was going to win all along. He's a loss. He's barely never not been in the lead, right? And the horse comes in, and I am euphoric. And I know because you're a horse racing fan, I know you know what that feeling's like, right? You know, that euphoria that you get? People just kind of lose their mind when they watch the race and the horse comes in. The horse comes in, holds everybody off. I reach into my pocket to look at my tickets, and they're gone. They're missing. I've lost my tickets. I have gone from, I'm on an emotional roller coaster right now. I've gone from watching my horse come in to win, and it's not a $2 win play show ticket. I mean, it's not $10,000 either, but I have a few thousand dollars of winning tickets in my pocket, and they're not there. Don't ask me where they are. They might have fell out at the track. I won the last race at Canterbury. I might have cashed out. They might have fallen out of my pocket.
Hey, Roger, check this. I've got something that might make you feel better. I've got something that might make that right. So you thought you had the winner, then you lost your tickets, then you couldn't believe how badly it all went for you, and then you found out that the horse didn't win, and then it didn't matter. I'm guessing that's where you were going with that. I've got something that might make you feel better. You don't have that ticket, but how about a golden ticket?
Yeah. I've got a golden ticket.
Right, Roger. Not for you. That was the amazing story that your sister told you to tell all of America?
Not a very good
sweet story, Broham. Come on, Raj. Do better, brother. I like you and I respect you, but that story was not a good story. It never will be. Stay tuned.
You're in a 5-minute break.